Roll dice, be nice, and stay tuned. This is the Live to Die podcast.
Well, howdy. I want to give a little bit of a, I feel like bookkeeping is not the right word up top. We do our best to create at least a passably professional sounding podcast for all of you to listen to. And a part of that is like, you know, keeping climate control in the house off while we record so we don't have a lot of sounds. It's negative 30 out right now.
Well, that's the wind chill.
Sorry. It's negative
Don't
five
be so
out
dramatic.
Right.
Yeah, it's only it's 1 degree, bro.
Oh, did it get up to one?
Oh, I don't know if it has yet.
We
have 1 degree to look forward to today.
Oh, no. Sorry. It's negative 7.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, it's even lower.
So.
Sounds bright.
We will do our best to keep the sound of the heat in the house down. You might hear it a little bit. And that's because we can't.
It's going to be on.
Yeah. We can't have the pipes freeze.
Burn this kingdom down if we don't turn the heat on today.
So normally we're very good about it. We bundle up, but it's negative 7 out right now. Yep. So that's where we're at.
This is when you should make it snow in the game. So it's like full immersion.
So wait, what is it? It is no longer farch.
I definitely need to ask what no date it is. I'm behind.
Well, fortunately, we're about to start handling it by months a lot when we get into Kingdom Turns. It's a month after March, for Phirasma March. It's like Callisti or something, Callistra.
That's February.
I
think it's Gozrin.
That sounds right.
Yeah, I think it is Gozrin.
Anyway, I did want to offer something that we talked about last episode, and we are going to have some Patreon content coming up in the future that's sort of some behind-the-scenes stuff, but I didn't really have an opening topic, and I wanted to kind of offer all of you a choice. Whatever we don't do this episode, we'll do next episode. I think it's going to be important to check in with the characters on how they're doing after assault on the Stag Lord's fortress. But also, if you have any questions about Paizo backstories of NPCs that you'll never get to talk to again, which one do you want to do this episode? Which one do you want to do next?
Ooh, backstories.
Yeah, yeah.
Backstories?
I agree.
All right. I'm not going to give everything. There still needs to be some air of mystery. But what are you interested in with backstories? What I'll tell you is that the less important the character, the more open I'll be. But obviously, the less information there's going to be about, like, backhanded Jeb, for example.
I want to know why the Stag Lord's dad was in the basement.
Okay.
I really want to know what the snitch snitched about to get the name whatever the snitch.
Okay, so let's talk a little bit about the Stag Lord's dad. And that is, his name is Nugra, N-U-G-R-A-H.
I do kind of remember some of this from the video game, but not a whole lot.
And we've talked about that a couple times, that you did play around with the Owlcat video game a little bit.
And like, but this was as far as I got, for sure.
Did you not make it through the Stag Lord?
Yeah. And Logan messaged me and was like, the story of the dad in the basement is really sad.
It is.
Yeah, I was like, okay, well, I have to know now.
Yeah.
I will also say, for those of you who like Owlcat style games, over the winter, they put out a 40K inspired Rogue Trader game.
Oh yeah, I saw that.
Like, it's very Owlcat. So if Owlcat games, if you don't like that slightly Eastern European jank and crunchiness in a CRPG, it won't be for you. It is not as accessible as Baldur's Gate 3. If you like your janky, crunchy RPGs, though, it is quite good. And it has drop-in, drop-out co-op, which I've been a big fan of. So let's talk a little bit about him. He belonged to the Green Faith when he was a youth, which is sort of like a pantheon of like nature-related things.
It's a philosophy.
Mm-hmm. Yep. He had a wife. She died in childbirth.
Of the Stag Lord?
Yes, with who would become the Stag Lord. And Nugra turned his back on the order, turned to forbidden rituals and attempt to bring his wife back from the dead. In the process of doing that, sacrificing a fellow druid, attempting to trade this like friend's life against murdering someone to try to bring his wife back.
Oof.
Did not work. The
didn't work.
It turns out you can't sacrifice your friends.
Well,
Horcruxes are not real.
Yeah.
Appalled by his monstrous acts, this man's wife appeared before him and then cursed him. Like, don't you do this. And then departed forever into the afterlife.
Isn't
like,
that just what getting married is?
What? Departing into
appear
the
before you and curse you for life?
It's no.
I love you, Jessica.
It's a ruined king from League of Legends.
Okay. Sure. Yeah. Okay.
So I mean, it's a lot of things. That's obviously a very classic like storyline, but
well, so that happens. The Green Faith banished him from their order, which is the only sparing his life so that he could potentially take care of his infant son. He never gave his son a name. He called him just boy his entire life. He had no name. He converted to the worship of Gozra from the Green Faith. Back when alignment was still a thing, Gozra was true neutral. Gozra cares only for like nature and the life of plants, essentially.
Isn't fighting the tree raiser or something Gozra's main motivation? Or
there might be. I'm a little less familiar with some of that. So this man, he found strange solace, it says, in the violence and impassive cruelty of nature. Mm-hmm. And in the years that followed, he increasingly blamed his son for his misfortunes and treated him as one of the very animals that he increasingly grew to see as untrustworthy beasts.
Yikes.
Yeah, he often threatened to kill his son, would attempt to kill him on more than one occasion, leaving him outside in the winter, beating him into a pulp and just like leaving the kid on his own. And
I don't want to know anymore.
Yeah.
Why
yeah.
did we ask about this?
Yeah, this is what I remember too. Yeah.
He eventually doused his son in acid and almost killed him. That's why he had all those scars.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
And those masks, those burlap sacks he found, which he then was trying to cover his face, fearing. Mm-hmm. Without getting into too much, let's just say that things over the years shifted. And as he grew bigger, he sort of started taking out his anger on his father and the power dynamic shifted. And it's a really sad,
that is sad.
This is so dark.
Depressing story.
Way to write that, Paizo.
You want to know about Backhand of Jeb?
Wait, so yes. Then his dad just trapped his dad in the basement?
Yep.
Yep.
And was like, now you live in the basement.
Yep.
When your parents get old enough, you're supposed to put them in your basement until their time comes.
What's gotten into you today?
You doing okay, Jason?
Yeah.
Christmas just ended, so I'm, you know,
a little spicy.
Family vibe.
We love family, but also family.
It'll be funny because I think if I have my math right, which I never do, these should air sometime in like March or April. So everyone's going to be like, oh, it's spring. We're like, it is negative 30 and Christmas.
Yeah. Right. Well, we are in Colorado,
yeah,
though.
That
so that could be March.
It could be.
Yeah. Who knows?
So would you like some of the rundowns on the far less depressing bandits?
All I asked for was the snitch.
Come back in and Jeb. Those two.
Yeah, I want Jeb.
So let's go with Jex or Jex the Snitch. The least popular with the men, but perhaps the Stag Lord's favorite minion is this aptly nicknamed man. His penchant for reporting other bandits' mistakes to the Stag Lord is likely to earn him a shallow grave before long.
What a little bitch.
He's a brown noser.
And then you ask for Backhanded Jeb. Backhanded Jeb Megson, who is Isles' younger brother, one of the other bandits.
Who's Isles?
From Rizolian
Isles? Last one we killed.
You made that exact same joke, Trent. Backhanded Jeb believes he got his nickname for the powerful strike he's accustomed to unleashing on his foes, when in fact he earned his moniker by talking out of both sides of his mouth.
That's so funny that he thought he had a cool nickname, but he didn't.
There's also one other person here that all of you kind of forgot about. I think I even dropped the name. But there was a man here named Falgrim Sneeg.
That's the guy who, the knight that Ari met at the trading post, right?
Not the knight, but like the man at arms.
Yeah, he was like, he basically was like, this man betrayed me. And I think now he's like aligned with the Stag Lord. And so like, bring me back proof of his death.
Yeah.
It was, if you bring him,
back alive, right?
You were, yes. You get, you get less reward if he's dead, but you still get a reward.
It's not really our thing.
Hey, bro. What are we going to do?
We're in the business of executing people now.
Yeah.
Oh God.
Hey. Yeah.
Any other bandit or previous character backstory? It's Paizo. There's a backstory for like basically any named character we've come across.
What about the owl bear, please?
Okay, I've got that
Beaky,
for you.
Beaky, right?
Beaky the owl bear, I believe, is the name.
Honestly, MVP of the whole fight. Yeah,
he almost took you out.
I know, but worth it.
He also kept us alive for a while.
Totally
I did log you as getting XP for defeating or resolving conflict with Beaky.
Like an owl bear in a bandit dungeon.
Owl bear in a bandit camp, yeah.
That classic turn of phrase. Yeah. 2 weeks ago during a hunt, the bandits brought down an owlbear. Rather than killing the creature for food, the Stag Lord took a liking to the strange beast and ordered the bandits to haul its unconscious but still living body back to the fort. They put the owlbear in the chamber, rigged a gate out of an old portcullis they scavenged from the main entrance. The owlbear has since recovered from its wounds and roars and hoots every night, keeping the bandits completely awake. Strangely, not annoying the stag lord, who has taken to calling the monster by the name Beaky. The bandits keep it fed by tossing chunks of elk and other meat through the bars, enough so that it hasn't tried to break out.
So you can see from that trauma that the stag lord is kind of stuck as a child, needs that pet to help him out. Mm-hmm. But also Beaky. Fucking awesome.
Yeah.
I love Beaky.
Beaky womped on the stag lord for sure.
Yeah, I mean,
for
if you've never seen King Kong, that's not how you do it.
Can we hear about MCR guy?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, he's dead, so there's nothing to kind of lose there.
Who's the MCR guy?
The one that looks like he's an MCR.
My Chemical Romance. I was trying to figure out what MCR meant for a second.
Jane, you know, uses the shorthand moniker.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's important to be able to have that quickly.
I just forgot his actual name. It was something like Moody, and he's like, I'm the guy who's the baddie.
Dovin Onishrock. Mm.
Yeah, yeah.
Who I always think is really funny. So if you remember correctly, I think we talked about this, that that Nishrock is in Nidal, which is sort of the, like, if a whole country was really into the movie Hellraiser.
It's a weird place.
It is weird.
So until Akaros showed up and took the number two spot, Dovin was comfortably second in command. And ever since that has... kind of changed over. He was really bitter. He was secretly pleased with the stag lord's alcoholism and has been actively encouraging the man to drink, because as long as the stag lord is in his cups, then that's more power to, like, the second and third in command. Dovin himself, it says here, is a mystery to the bandits, a dark tattooed figure with an obvious taste for pain and cruelty. All they know of him is that he claims to hail from Nishrock, when in fact he doesn't. He actually comes from Ustalov. His name is Dovin Nishrock. Doesn't fucking come from there. And you're literally, like, unless you spend a lot of time getting to know him, no other bandits know it. So it's not like it's even going to come up casually in conversation. Paizo's over here like, we're going to call a guy so-and-so from Pittsburgh. Is he from Pittsburgh? Nope. Atlanta. And you're like, what the hell? he was from Ustalov, where he grew up amid the horrors of, like, some just kind of, like, weird places. They talk a little bit about a place there called the Widow's Boudoir, which is, it's a house of, like, entertainment and pleasures where, and I quote, sometimes people can eat other people. Ustalov is a weird place. Yeah. Like, a lot of, not vampire stuff intrinsically, but a lot of vampire adjacent. If you think very, like, gothic horror theme.
Yeah, Transylvania.
It's Transylvania.
Yeah, it's Transylvania. But he says, let's see, no other notes here. When he discovered he was on the menu for a particularly rough, violent evening, he gathered his things and fled town, spending the next several months enjoying decadence and freedoms the River Kingdoms had to offer. After a close call with the press gang, he recruited Auch, the other, like, the big guy, the huge one, saving the huge man from a brawl that Dovin himself engineered. Dovin often grows tired of Auch's talk, but is just as pleased with how well he likes to, Auch likes to hurt people. Of late, Dovin has been plotting ways to kill Akaros, but he can see how much the stag lord and the others admire him, and he knows he needs to make his moves subtly. So,
toxic workplace.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Yeah. Their Glassdoor reviews are not good.
Yeah. For sure.
1 of 5 stars. Poor leadership.
Some dude's always trying to eat me.
If you live enough to write the Glassdoor review.
Yeah. Every time a new one pops up, the stag lord's like, we're having a meeting. Which one of you wrote it? that's a little bit about the Stag Lord's Fortress.
Wow.
I like
it. What a terrible time.
Yeah.
And you know what else is a terrible time?
Where all of your characters are right now.
Yeah. I also forgot
maybe this session, we'll see.
Yeah. I forgot that we were, like, done. And then James was like, oh, you feel something evil stirring.
Yeah.
Great.
How are you all feeling about that? What do you think you do? Trent was asking a very good question. Sorry, I asked you 3 questions and then talked over. Trent asked a valid question before we started.
Sorry, James just wrapped himself in a shawl as he's talking.
It's true. And then I was like, wait, where can I get one of those?
I actually was going to make sure everyone had a blanket on their chair. Do we need to pause and get blankets?
Does anybody else need a blanket?
I brought an extra shirt.
I'm going to go get a blanket.
Continue.
Trent asked a valid question before we started recording, which was, hey, so, like, how far along the process of, like, wrapping the evening up were we? And I said, in my mind, where you were at was the sort of, like, maybe you were eating or just finished eating dinner, kind of sitting around the fire. So whether or not you'd have armor on is very much up to like kind of your thoughts on how you see or play your character. So I think what I'll probably do is, and I trust all of you, I think, have fun letting the expressions of character inform actions of story. So I'm just going to ask, what do you think your like basically combat readiness is post dinner, whether that be garbs or armaments or things like that? We'll go clockwise. So Nikolai, Jason, what do you think Nikolai's like just after wrapping up dinner?
I would say that he probably did eat dinner in his leathers. He doesn't have the helm on for sure, but
sure.
He's probably still in his studded leather.
Could you even eat with that thing on?
Through a straw, actually. if I got a blender, I could just all the food.
Lucky.
Yeah, Lucky's probably like counting 800 copper, so he probably hasn't done much.
456.
As far, yeah, exactly.
Who keeps these pennies?
So I think he's still in his normal regalia.
Ari just occasionally runs by and it's like 5, 20, 30.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep, messing you up.
God damn it.
17, 12 kicks the bucket over.
I think Arthur would probably still be in his armor.
Okay.
But I don't think his sword and shield would be like at hand. I think sure. They're sitting somewhere.
And I didn't say like you all got ambush prepped to roll initiative. You're just like something feels off.
Yeah.
Ari would definitely still be wearing her armor. She's freaked out. She didn't want to stay here. She doesn't like it. She's ready to leave. She was freaked out about this undead thing that we have to drop the stag lord's body off to.
Oh, that's right.
There's a lot of blood in here.
Or whatever. And she's kind of like unsettled anyway.
And I'd imagine that we're eating out of necessity and not because we're like...
Right.
Like our adrenaline dumped and we're sitting down and we're like, I need food in my body.
Mm-hmm. Like you just finished a big hike and you're like, I've got 45 minutes to just carbo load or I'm out.
Like you don't even have the energy to take your armor off. You're just like that. I need food right now.
Are there bodies still just like strewn about in here?
That's a good question. What would you have done with like, I don't want to get too grim.
Just called Beaky back and let him eat them.
I would have piled him in Beaky's cage. I think Beaky's cage, I would have piled him up for now.
Yeah, fine.
Yeah, okay.
Arthur can help with that, yeah.
I just feel like that would actually be so exhausting. Like,
oh, yeah, for sure.
You know, that's just like a whole other thing on top of how tired we probably are.
I'm just kidding. I've never done that.
Every time I've moved a body.
Jesus.
We have to cut so many things out of this episode already.
We're going to leave more than you might think of that. Okay, so Trent, I don't know why. It's just been one of those days.
I feel
days.
Like I'm about to roll something.
No, I think I wanted the narrative out of like a cliffhanger, so I'm going to give you the narrative benefit of like something does feel off. I'm going to say that maybe it's just like a passive perception. You don't know what it is, but you hear something, you feel something weird. Now, remember, you're inside the Staglord's Fort. As we talked about, there is sort of like a wooden wall around the edge. It doesn't have... what's it called? The things you stand on the top of walls.
Oh, a
parapet. Yeah.
There's a like name that. For like the walkable platforms.
God damn it.
Like a catwalk?
I can't remember.
No, kind of like that, but there's a name for it with walls.
Yeah,
and I'm just so blanking on it.
I know, me too. It's still morning. It takes time for my brain to turn on.
Like I literally almost called your character Thomas. I don't know why. Just like my mind is not on it this morning. So
do you think Arthur's like? I feel something weird and really
good. Yes, yeah. Thank you so much.
Sorry, Jared. I didn't mean to interrupt you. I just like light bulb.
you know what?
It's the first thing that popped up on Google too.
You're getting a patch for that.
Yay.
None of us could remember the word battlements. And Jared's like, do you just mean battlements?
Battlements.
Can I also argue real quick? We're playing for the first time in 2024.
Oh, yeah.
Can we get New Year's patches?
I do typically hand out New Year's patches.
Good job.
A battlement is actually made up of a bunch of different ones, including a parapet.
Nice. Patch.
It is also probably worth kind of calling out that I think for our Patreons, we'll probably know a little bit more about this, but we started recording our first test recordings for this podcast 2 years ago this month.
Holy cow.
Wow.
This month?
I think we did it. It was end of January, beginning of February, 2 years ago. We started playing the beginner's box.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. It's been 84 years.
Today's the anniversary of our podcast. Now, Trent, what would Arthur do or say upon like essentially getting the prompt that like I made a perception check behind the GM screen and then something came up?
I think he would, getting the feeling it's not like a sound or a sight, he would just kind of like stand up, maybe take a log from the fire or something to, you know, to carry out. And he's just kind of like...
So more like a stick, or are you just like shouldering a fucking like sitting log?
Yeah, just kind of like grabs a torch type size, you know, thing from the fire and sort of carry it out. Maybe walking over to his sword, just kind of like pick up with his other hand. Like,
sure.
Like, and all of us are just like, la, 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 la.
Yeah, he's probably not like alerting anybody else. He's just like, I get this weird feeling.
So, yeah. Do you think you were inside sort of the remnants of the building, or do you think you were more in the like courtyard's the wrong word because it's like 10 feet by 15 feet, but like the small clearing in between the gate and the keep?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's fine.
Okay, so you don't see anything. The walls are pretty tall. You don't see anything in the courtyard, but you do feel like maybe you hear...
What's the weather like out here?
Okay.
We are in spring still.
Actually, wait. Oh, way to go, me. I did legitimately pre-roll weather for a handful of these days.
Nice.
I'm very happy with myself. Okay.
We are too. We're happy with you.
Because I Thank feel you. Like if That's we could be outside, we would be mostly... Like, not just trapped in a bunch of stinking terribleness.
Clear sky. A little cold, crisp, occasional cloud.
It's like evening
across
or
the moon.
Moon's up in the sky?
This time of year, yeah, the sun wouldn't be setting super early, but by 100% the sun's on its way down now.
Okay.
I think it's past dusk. I think dusk has just sort of wrapped, if you will.
How long are you looking around? Because, I mean, after like 30 or seconds or maybe even a minute, Nikolai would ask you what you're... Do you hear something?
Not really, no, but...
Now that you are looking, you do feel like you hear something. Like, maybe it's the wind through the grasses or wildlife or something. Something outside of the fort. Not, like, knocking on the door, but, like, you feel like you hear something.
Nikolai, go get the others.
Okay, and I run and tell you guys, like, hey, there may be something outside the fort.
You've got to be kidding me. It's probably just Beaky.
Maybe. But, you know.
But he's
I'm going
scary,
to go
so.
Up to the top and see if I can check it out.
Oh, you're going to one of the watchtowers.
You should also, with your bow, go up to one of these watchtowers.
Okay. I'll stealth that way, that direction.
I'll go out with Arthur.
So Arthur and Ari inside. Have you opened...
I hate this character so much.
Have you opened the gate or are you just at the gate? Because the gate is like an open, closed, big wooden gate, John.
I think you would open it.
Okay.
Dear God.
All right.
I have my kukri out.
I can always retreat back in, you know.
And you do have two like allies up on watchtowers. So do you wait for them to get to the watchtowers? Are you both in the same watchtower?
No.
It's quick.
I think we're oppo.
I think I basically always assume I can't see
There's
Lucky.
There's like one on each side of the gate.
Yeah.
Why would they
you
both
that one requires you to kind of run to the back and up and around to get to it. One you can kind of just pop up.
So I'll do
one.
That. I'll do the up and around one as I'm running by, like, get to the tower.
All right.
Yeah, I'd probably try and
Ari,
make
stay inside
eye contact
said,
with...
Oh, my God.
It'd be safer if you were inside.
She's just as dangerous as I am. He would make eye contact with Nikolai, assuming he can never see Lucky.
Yeah.
So...
So you open the gate. The moon has just started to come up. It's a clear sky. Remember we talked about there's a path that runs almost 300 feet down from this fort to the nearest like trees. To the south of you, the Tuskwater Lake. You can see the moonlight starting to reflect and glint off of it. But the ground... At the edges of the path is what catches your eye because it looks different. There's like small, like almost like little gopher mounds,
no.
little groundhog hills.
No.
And all of a sudden you see it move a little bit. No.
It's zombies.
And a hand just
no.
comes up in the moonlight from the ground. The fingers just grab into the ground. You see this hand starting to pull something up out of the ground behind it.
Fantastic.
It's father.
It's old father.
All right. So what I think I'm going to need is a little initiative.
Nope.
I don't know.
I would rather
that
not.
I stole from Nolan.
I'm pretty sure that we didn't take the Stag Lord's head to the river soon enough, and now all these zombies are...
Soon
angry.
Enough, it's been like 3 hours.
He paid for overnight shipping.
Yeah, we literally had to eat because we were about to throw up.
Yeah.
All right. What do we got, Lucky?
I think stealth is stealth appropriate.
Yeah, you literally said, even Trent was like, I just assume I can never see Lucky.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got it.
You know what, Trent, you were on top of this, so everyone add plus one to Trent. You were scouting for this.
26 then.
Holy shit. All right, Nikolai.
Shit, yeah.
20.
Ariadna,
I
Vex.
Also have 20.
18.
Ooh. You go first.
Okay, well, so Lucky will go first. And let me go ahead and populate this map a little bit. It goes Lucky, and then Arthur and Nikolai.
He's got so many little tabs.
So many minis.
So many tabs.
He was putting a lot of things on bases earlier.
Yeah, like while we were just sitting here shooting shit, he was
slices.
Just like putting bases together.
All right. Let me go ahead as three zombies just crawl their way up and out of the ground alongside the edges of this path. Lucky, you'll get to go first.
Okay.
Zombies. There are zombies out there.
Oh, God, zombies. Zombies.
They are out of range from me. So I'm gonna delay.
I mean, what is range, really?
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm a short bow guy.
Range
so.
Is just a number. Yeah.
Not a long bow guy. So I'll delay.
Range is just another word for nothing left to lose.
These are formidable looking zombies.
Yeah, they look terrifying.
Is that a ponytail?
Yeah, that one's
they
got
all
a,
have ponytails.
A legit ponytail.
They're all the same art, but yes.
They all have whippy tails.
Whippy tails.
Whip snap. Mm-hmm. All right. So Lucky, you're gonna delay.
I'm delaying.
All right.
My favorite tactic.
I think I had said that the undead we saw on the river was like the first undead Ari had ever seen, and
yeah.
So she's probably like freaking out.
However, this is probably not the first undead Arthur has ever seen.
Nope. These fuckers gonna die.
Arthur, you see them crawl their way up out of the ground, three of them, but you do notice more of the ground moving.
Well, I don't love that. I'm going to walk forward.
Also, I will say, Jared asked a question when I was quickly setting up this map. That's a fair one. Where were you at with healing? You are all healed, but obviously no abilities or like no rest spells or abilities like. Jared is wonderfully moving forward to the moving people's miniature as they talk.
Yeah, give me like 25 feet.
2, 3, 4, 5. All right, strides forward. It is moonlight. You do not have your shield, but
right.
You do have a torch, so you have 20 feet of light around you.
I'm going to drop the torch where
perfect.
I am.
So the torch will stay lit there. Go ahead and just chuck this D4 over there so we remember where that torch is going to stay. Ari also has your halo. Do you think that'd be on?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I will tell Ari, move up to me and stay by my side. And and I will prepare an action to attack the next one that comes into my range.
Hell yes. All right, Nikolai. You got that longbow.
I do got that longbow.
Yeah. So what is the range of a longbow, actually?
100.
I think you might be in the second range increment there.
Yeah.
But
no,
like,
it's 95. I just counted.
You know what?
A badass. He has too many.
I
can't give him more patches.
I have to. I've got to replenish the supply, but that was Jared just moving people's minis as they talk, already checking distances on bows. I fucking love this.
Yeah, so I'll shoot them with my bow.
Which one are you going for? Just go for relative position. I have a lot of different colors, and I didn't write them all down, but I'm not super worried.
No
I will head math which one has which hit points.
Yeah, I'll go to the one by Jane, the yellow one.
Okay, got it. The if we're using me, that's like the one at 1 o'clock.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, God.
Sorry, I forgot all my math a second. Hit me with the drop.
Yeah! God
Almighty, that's a terrible math. 15.
15. 15's a hit.
Okay.
Roll some damage.
Damage. Also forgot how to play my character.
Yeah.
Thanks,
14.
Sure.
14. Slams into it and just like rips a whole part of its like body off. It's still standing, but it does not look good.
I shall shoot it again.
What color is this one?
Yellow.
All right.
I'm seriously playing sometimes on Fantasy Grounds in our other game, Trent, where I thought you meant like what color is its hit points?
Ah, yeah.
18.
That's a hit. Roll damage for me.
That 15. Plus 3, I was like, I'm definitely not hitting this. 10.
Dead. First zombie out.
Hell yeah.
And,
Jane just flicks it across the table. First one down. Falls to the ground. It doesn't twitch because it was never alive. I think in my mind, it's like the moment they lose the connection that keeps its power, it falls almost like a marionette that has its strings cut, just
crumples.
I don't have a real plan here, so I'm just going to shoot again.
Yeah, go for the next one at like 11 o'clock. Oh my god.
Terrible math.
13.
That's a hit.
Oh, nice.
With the minus.
Hey, baby.
Oh god, there's going to be a lot of these.
Let's go.
Yeah, no kidding.
AC's 13. 12?
Yeah.
Tunk. It's in a bad way. Not looking good. All right. Vex, it's your turn. Ari.
So Arthur's like, come up next to me, and Ari just runs in the opposite direction.
Back into the fort.
Well, I was kind of like...
Yes, self-preservation is a good idea.
No, I was actually thinking... like, oh, should we run back and grab like the helm and be like, look, we killed him. Don't be mad.
I have it on my head.
You said you weren't wearing it at dinner.
I picked it up as I'm running by. Like, boop, boop.
So she's going to be like, Nikolai, hang your head out the window. Tell them we killed the stag lord.
These look very
Nikolai
different.
Standing on the tower that has no roof and he's like, fucking, you know what she's talking about.
No, actually, the watchtowers do have a little bit of roof.
Oh,
kind
do.
Of nice, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, she will just run up next to Arthur and help him kill zombies.
Run up next to her. You also
and
going
so
to
I'm
ready?
Just going to ready, yeah, for check. When one comes up close enough.
All right. Well, zombies are not known
and
for
and she's
their...
going to be like, I came up here because I want to, not because you told me to.
So that the zombie at 11 o'clock will take both of its actions, because remember, zombies are permanently slowed, and it will stride up to in front of Ari. One
and
action,
stab.
Two action.
Stab.
All right, Ari, roll that stabby stab. Everyone else, how are you feeling about zombies? I feel like it's kind of a classic fantasy encounter.
I do like zombies. I don't know that Nikolai is like best to kill zombies.
Sure.
I
mean, 13.
That's a hit.
Ran up.
Oh, right. That's fine.
I love how much some of you have been playing this so much where you're like, it's worrying.
11 points of damage.
What kind of damage?
Piercing.
Oh, it's. I thought the cookie was slashing.
Oh, yeah. It says agile finesse.
Yes, those are traits, but it also should have a damage type.
Like P
where do I see that?
It's like next to your damage die. There's a P
oh, yeah,
or a B.
Slashing.
Okay, so that is, Shink. It seems to be weak to slashing, so add 5 more. What's the total then?
Yeah.
Oh, 16.
And whoop, dead, you just dead. Slice it down in half. The other one will spend its 2 actions walking up to the exact same position, which would put it in threat. Oh, no, right in front of you directly, because that's it's still in range of Arthur as well. Just walks up the middle.
I would like to attack it.
Go for it.
With 2 hands on... Wait. Adding a hand is an action, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So not 2 hands, because I needed 2 actions to prepare.
Yes.
Let me reduce that real quick. That's a 14.
Okay.
So I assume that's
that
is a hit.
Yeah, that's a hit. And it is weak to slashing, weak 5, so add 5 on top of it.
Plus he's undead and you're Arthur.
Yeah. What do you got?
16 damage.
Okay. Is that with the plus 5?
Yes.
Yeah, shink, slash into it. It's not looking...
Rolled fairly low on those d8s.
Not looking good. All right, that one's dead. Oh, God. Wait, no. I need to keep the dead ones up here. Hmm. All right, roll that. So then
like that.
The ground next to you, Ari, at the beginning of a new round, and you see a hand rip up through the ground.
Stomp.
And would you grab that? Would you just grab one of the zombie prawns? And it's going to come up. It'll start the round prone as it crawls up out of the ground right next to you. Comes into the initiative order. Lucky, it's your turn.
Yeah, I'll shoot at the one on the path. I think so. Okay. What is it? Negative? What's the negative for a range outside of your range increment?
Oh fuck,
minus
I don't remember.
Two?
Well, that's right. You have a short bow.
I think it's a minus 2.
Yeah.
That's
let's
what I believe,
let's start with minus 2. It won't be worse than minus 2. And so
yeah, let's
one
just see
range
what
increment.
I roll first. That's probably a good. indicator.
Yeah.
Okay, I rolled a 19 on the die.
Okay, yeah, you're fine.
Which would be a 29.
Your attacks take no penalty against a target up to 60 feet away, a minus 2 penalty if a target is over 60 feet
so
away.
27.
It's like the opposite
of a
longbow.
That's a crit. Let me see if they're immune to crits.
All right.
They are not immune to crits. You also were hiding. They are not immune to precision damage.
All right.
Then, so crit with sneak attack damage.
17.
Dead. Blows away the one standing in front of Arya.
Yeah.
Arthur, it's your turn.
Well, I didn't ready an action.
Oh, sorry. You're right. This is just your whole ass turn.
Yeah. Can I see that other one?
Oh, yeah. And it's prone on the ground.
All right. I'm going to shoot at it. That's a negative, though, for being prone.
No. When you are prone, if you take cover,
I'm also
you get
high,
a benefit.
High
okay. Yeah.
Okay. I was like, really?
did this change?
No,
in Pathfinder 2?
In Pathfinder 2, if I remember correctly, it's when you are prone, you are flat-footed. However, you get a bonus to AC against range attacks if you take cover. I don't think you get it naturally, but I could be wrong. I'm going to look up prone. I have it on my GM screen here.
Does an 11 hit?
Let's see. You are flat-footed. Penalty to attack rolls. While prone, you can take cover to gain cover. So basically, normally you need cover to take cover. While you're prone, you can just take cover.
So its AC would be 11?
Its AC is 2 lower than normal, which you haven't targeted yet, but that is a hit because it's prone.
Hey. Okay.
Nice.
So
badass.
So no sneak attack, but
no, it's flat-footed.
Oh, yeah.
It's prone.
Yeah.
As it's crawling up out of the ground.
11
damage.
Precision.
Jesus.
Nice.
Sinks into it.
And I'll try one more. This is at a negative 2. Total though, and I rolled a natural one, so
hell yeah.
I'm just gonna let
natural
it ride.
Natural
with
one
with all those patches.
Oh, yeah, fuck, I mean, crap. It's a natural one.
I'm not worried.
Trent,
yet.
Would you be so kind? I think the cards are on the desk in that room.
Okay, let's let it
let's
ride.
See, here we go.
You're gonna shoot yourself in the eye.
Critical. Yeah, maybe it's a one.
Wow, I really hope the cards are actually in there and on the desk. I used them the other night when we were running like our Age of Ashes game, so. Hopefully it's relevant. Trent's coming back. Oh God, he almost slid
slide.
Into the wall. All right.
I
slides right out.
I was like looking out
the
window and that surprised me so much.
All right, here we go. We're going to count down. 1, 2, 3, 4. This is a ranged attack.
Yep.
Aching back.
Oh,
you
great.
Are now fatigued.
Oh no.
Which like could be worse.
Sounds like me in real life.
You take a status penalty to the value of all checks and DCs. Equal to your fatigued. So penalty to your AC, penalty to tax, and then at the end of your turn, it goes away. So now it's the end of your turn.
So it
and
goes away.
Your fatigued condition goes away.
All right, I'm not going to add it on Hero Lab.
All right, Arthur. One's coming up out of the ground next to you. Well, next to Ari, technically.
Hmm. Yeah, I'll take a step over in front of her.
Okay.
And attack it.
Okay.
Ah.
Good stuff.
This is a nightmare.
25?
Crit.
I want to add a hand.
Okay.
First.
Sure. Hand, step, swing.
Yeah, because that's D12s, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So that's going to be some... I think it's probably dead.
Sure. Are you striking on that thing?
Yeah.
Let's see.
I know you have plus one, but I wasn't sure if you had striking.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody, but...
Oh, that's right. A bunch of you pooled a bunch of money before Staglord to come in with striking. I think
everyone has at least one striking rune.
Mm-hmm.
So...
And it's week 5.
12, 16, 21.
Dead.
Yeah.
Okay. So, look, I'm not normally the fan of doing this, but here's what I'm going to do. There are... 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 7 more zombies that come up out of the ground, and they come up on flat checks of either 1 or 2 that each turn that I make. This is a really bad encounter if you're assaulting the fortress uphill into the attacks from the bandits. Having 2 of you in watchtowers and the other of you already set up to just take them piecemeal as they come out of the ground, these are out of the book. CR minus 1 zombies. 12 of them is a lot. And if you let them build up and they get the jump on you, it's also bad.
I also hit one with an 11, so...
Yeah, they're AC 12.
I hit one on my third increment.
Yeah. So here's what I'm going to say. I think you'd spend the next probably almost minute of combat dispatching them. And I'd like you to all keep in mind that, like, it would be terrifying to have a bunch of zombies mm-hmm. coming up out of the ground. But I don't think we need to play through the rest of this encounter. If you were about to assault the Stag Lord, I'd want to play it out to see if the bandits for noticed, sure. started raining fire down on you. If something else happened timing-wise, I'd probably play it there too. But, like, I just don't see this as being unknown as to what's going to happen.
Yeah, yeah.
Can we do some knowledge checks about them?
I was going to ask that too.
Yeah, so let's kind of wrap the fight up, and you're
left.
It is
a cool image, though, like, you two down on the ground just swording them to death while we're just like, shkink.
Yeah, it is pretty dope.
And so I do kind of like, the moon in the sky, the torch on the ground, the two of you, like, essentially holding this fort as these zombies come up out of the ground. Yeah, let's, now remember, knowledge checks are secret checks. Who wants to do some religion checks?
Nikolai does.
All right, I got a Nikolai die here. Who else is doing a religion check?
I think I have undead lore.
I'll take that. Okay,
that's cool.
Undead
lore.
Seems
like it'd be valuable here.
And religion. Yeah. What? These are secret checks. What's your bonus, Trent?
Oh, plus +5.
And what's your bonus?
9.
Okay. So, these are zombies.
Oh.
I knew it.
Yeah.
Cool.
Ah.
What you piece together a couple of things here, Trent. Remember, this is an old monastery. And you think that, one, these zombies were not, like, conjured. You get the impression that these were bodies that were buried here. The age of the body seems sort of congruent with the age of the monastery, which we've talked about is, like, hundreds of years old.
Oof.
So you feel pretty confident that they're not, like, about to just summon more. Like, you have, this is resolved.
Okay.
If you want to learn a little bit more about why you think this might be the case here, you could probably spend some time looking in the fortress a little bit, trying to remember we talked about how there was some like ornamentation on some of the walls interior.
Yeah.
You feel like it might be connected to that with the check you made.
I would definitely be doing that.
Nikolai, I would come with you for sure. Because if there's like a curse or something that we can lift or change.
Sure. What do you want to do with the undead bodies?
Oof. Burn them.
Yeah, burn
them. Pile them up in the body where... So I say now we make a whole body... pit.
What a nightmare.
And burn them.
Ugh. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's pretty like last wall standard. Like that's something that's been drilled into you. So it takes another bit. I mentioned it's going to be this is a long day. Did you ever buy a shovel? You joked about buying a shovel back at Oleg's. So
I
do have a shovel.
I do want to note that at, I don't remember what level is probably 2, a second level feat that Arthur has as a champion, is Shining Oath.
Ooh.
So he has literally sworn an oath to put the undead to rest. So this is very much
right
would
up your
be
alley.
Right up his alley, yeah.
And I imagine that like from bearer of the oath to bearer of the oath, that's probably a little different in terms of how they see putting to rest. Like,
yeah.
So where do you think, for Arthur, do you think there is, in his mind, like, is it trying to offer some peace to the bodies of these departed souls?
Totally.
It isn't just like a thing of violence?
Yeah, no, and it even says that, you know, you're absolutely... capable of helping them just find rest, whether that's through completing what they need completed or killing them if need be.
Oh, that's cool. That's a little different from like the Pharasma suffer not an undead to live. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Seeing some humanity in that. Okay, cool.
You can try to work out a more peaceful way to help it recover from its undead state.
Oh, that's... God, I always love finding those cool little fluff things that are tucked in. So you spend some time, you're able to kind of dig a pit. Not too difficult.
Before we dig the pit, I think Lucky would ask and be like, do we see any value of keeping this fort here? I mean, you could just burn the bodies with the
I'd be just as happy to see the whole thing go.
Oh, snap.
So,
before
we're not going to
move on with the dead bodies into that.
Yeah.
I would say that Nikolai works with you to do some type of funeral rite, and he takes the time to separately bury the fallen Erastil guy.
Okay.
Other than that, I'm done.
The one that you guys killed?
I'm done. The one that we executed.
Yeah. Also, I was just clarifying. we will definitely make sure that we don't burn the body of the Stag Lord.
You do need that.
Yeah.
We need that.
Yeah.
So we set that one aside. We special bury the other guy.
Put him in the wagon, I guess.
So... Yeah. we're not going to jump into it right away.
Sure.
When we start building the kingdom, though, one of the first things you'll need to do is pick the first hex in which your first settlement is started. And there are a number of hexes across the map that have things in them that if this is where a settlement or your first settlement is, you get a free building there that otherwise you'd have to build. If you want to spend some more time, we'll kind of dig into it a little bit more later.
Sure, sure.
But structures like this, especially given that like a lot of the stone foundation is still in place, allows you to start with a free certain type of building. Now, it's not the only one. Okay. And you can say, yeah, screw this place. We're done. However, there are mechanical benefits to starting it. There's lots of those. Like, there's mechanical benefits if your first settlement is in the hex where Olog's trading post is. One, you kind of got to make sure he's cool with being
That's a power move for sure. Like,
so we're taking over your house.
Also, we're like six hexes from like actual civilized land.
Which is what they want. Right, like, we'll get into more of that in a later session.
This is ours now.
Do you have a flag? Sorry.
Yeah, we have a flag, so...
All right, going back in, you kind of take it. I imagine at this point it's kind of well into the night by the time you're done, like taking care of some of this. I imagine you probably have some torches around, lighting things up, a fire in the courtyard, a fire in the yard in front of the fortress. But you can go back inside it. I want to talk a little bit again about these. What's left is there's chips of ancient plaster flaking off from the walls, and whatever plaster still clings to the stonework is covered with strange and erratic scribbles and pictographs. This is another religion check. What are those religion bonuses from those of you who have it?
Nine.
Eight.
Okay, both of you are able to take some time. I imagine it probably takes about an hour to sort of like look through this and talk together. This is a less common... This is ancient, basically graffiti left by... worshippers, cultists of a god named Gyrona. Gyrona.
My Gyrona.
A lesser known goddess of extortion, hatred, and spite.
Ah, oh, lovely.
Whose faith has always been strong in the River Kingdoms.
Maybe not a great idea to tear this place down.
Fair.
If it's a god of spite.
And I'll say the two of you together are able to piece together a little bit more about her. She's a goddess of hags.
Oh,
terrible.
Okay.
Wow.
Known as the Hag Queen or the Angry Hag.
No fucking way.
Yeah. That's those who follow terrifying. Those who follow her value wreaking pain and vengeance above all else.
Well, I can actually respect that.
And it's kind of
thing, honestly, a level of there's design a little bit my thing.
And it's
you're a hag.
A little bit of a hag.
And because it's Pathfinder, things are more than one thing, right? One of the things that when I did some research into her that I think you can kind of decide how much of your characters might know this or not. While she may act as a patron to mortal women outcast by society, she is no benevolent protector. She offers no comfort, only seething thoughts of revenge, spreading of misery, and the death of hypocrites that guard social edicts.
Hmm. Mm.
Wow.
So, like, I always like it. Not purely an asshole. There's times when you're like, yeah, you know, right about that one.
Yeah.
So, this place was at some point apparently home, like a monastery to some monks of that.
Sometimes you got an Antigone, you know?
No.
I feel like we shouldn't tear this place down, but we also shouldn't like build here.
Well, there are processes. There's things we can get into, but
we can leave it alone for now.
Just like
an
let
inhabited
it
building.
Just let it be on the outskirts of town and be like, don't go there.
Or so, I mean, you could do like there are rituals. What's it called? Like just like sanctify as a ritual and things like that.
Do we get the idea then that the reason the zombies we're coming up is out of vengeance? Does that make sense?
I think this is one of those things that without someone who's like particularly good at basically like investigation or things like that, you probably don't know a whole lot. But like you said, one thing I did say is that you were able to kind of piece together that these zombies do seem to be as old as at least part of this monastery.
Wow.
So there is some connection there.
I wonder if that had to do with why the Stag Lord like came here? Like, was it just a convenient building, or was it kind of like contributing to the overall bad energies?
His whole vibe.
Were they all lady zombies?
The illustration was, but no, the actual zombies in game were not. They were a mix of whatever you can tell what's left of the bodies that old and rotted. Okay.
James just also curious. Said something about like, oh, if you were to have faced this like before you fought the bandits. So that makes me think that it might also be some sort of like security system.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, I will say, Ari, you had a piece together that like, as you're looking throughout, you see that there are more graves than you found bodies for. They're empty, which means that others have risen throughout time. So most likely you do suspect that this probably was a known factor. And yes, was exactly why. Wow. You know what? Is why the Sad Lord had started his fort here of like, look, they figured out the best paths to walk up. And they were like, as long as we don't trigger it, it's kind of the best security system to have like, whoops, all zombies.
So did we do that like by accident? We just came up a way that didn't trigger this?
You're not sure what triggered it.
We came up during the day, didn't we?
You did.
So maybe it just happens at night.
Yeah.
Who knows? Could be anything.
So
a boat's a boat.
I think out at this fire, at this pile of bodies, I assume Arthur and Nikolai are kind of like saying prayers of like, hey, we just hope you find rest.
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Wasn't sure if you were going to monologue, so I took a bite of cookie.
No. Done enough monologuing.
So what's next for everyone?
Taking this body to the river.
Yeah. Sleeping.
Do we have any...
Is the body before or after sleeping?
After. It's well, what time of day?
It's evening. It's like 11 p.m. right now.
Yeah, we gotta sleep.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose we're probably exhausted, but...
Oh, yeah. But literally and mechanically.
Yeah. We can make stop number one.
But we're going straight there.
I'm fine with that.
Do we have any gemstones in our... pile of stuff?
I will look.
Didn't we get a bunch of gemstones from the Stag Lord's room?
I want to say maybe. We did have some.
Yeah, I think there were some gemstones. Why do you ask?
I've got...
Nikolai needs...
A ledger.
Suspicious. Mm-hmm. For any reason in particular? Or just
polished crystal.
Carnelian. It just says worth 6 gold pieces or more.
I've got a 8 gold carnelian.
Okay. So he takes that.
He kind of starts the 30 gold red garnet.
Wave his hands and mumble over the gemstone, and the gemstone starts emitting light.
Okay.
Oh.
And it emits in a 20-foot radius and then dim light for the next 20 feet. And he hands it to Arthur and he says,
"Oh, pretty.
This should help you from having to have a torch. Just keep it in your pocket. Oh. Pull it out. It never goes out."
Amazing.
Oh shit. What spell is this?
Everlight.
Oh, that's so fucking cool.
Yeah.
Is this a remaster spell?
It is. Yep. The gemstone you touch glows, spreading bright light with a color of your choice. What do you want it to be?
It's garnet.
It's like red and orange.
That's so dope.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Holy cow. That'd be awesome.
Did you all not read Little Women?
In the 20-foot
Carnelian
radius?
Is irrelevant. Can't say that. Gemstone.
I do have
you
the book.
Fools.
I haven't read it yet, though.
Yeah. And then it ends if it's broken. If someone breaks it, it's over, but it's an unlimited duration.
I'm going to put it in my pocket.
Yes. And if there's another gemstone, Nikolai, I'll take that. Because he can't see in the dark either.
And Ari's like, bing.
And Ari's like, bing. Or wait,
cool
can you
rock.
See in the dark? Mm. Then I'll give it to you next.
I'm going to add that to my gear.
Okay.
Shiny stone.
Yep. Shiny rock stone.
So you rest through the night.
Right now.
How well do you think any of you sleep?
Not well for Ari.
Arthur sleeps just fine.
Yeah, maybe initially well. Just from exhaustion, but then maybe a little restless after that.
Yeah, I would say Ari somewhere in there too, where it's like probably like restless at first even, or just like stressed, but then is so exhausted that she passes out.
Nikolai doesn't sleep very well. He's kind of obsessed with some other thoughts that have been coming to him lately, and it feels like they're very intrusive in his brain right now.
I think at one point when you do drift off, in and out, Nikolai, you do have a vision, and you see a deer standing over the body of another dead deer, just looking at it. Wake up in the morning, the sun comes up. Mm. It's an odd sight. I mean, you're in a ruined fortress, a ruined monastery. but you're in a place that's kind of a gorgeous view. I mean, like, you just to the west of you is the forest of the Greenbelt. You are on the northern banks of the Tusquater with the plains rolling out to the mountains to the east of you. It's kind of gorgeous here. Like, you're right at this spot on this small hill looking out over this. And when I talk about the Tusquater is a lake that runs like 30 miles, almost.
Wow, that's a big ass lake.
30 miles north to south, about 12 miles east to west. And rivers, the same river that you had to cross earlier, running just up north from it. Well, running down from the north into it. You can kind of see all over it. It's a little crisp and cold still. Not as cold as it is here for us today, but,
yeah.
You know, it's chilly.
Grass is a little wet and you can see your breath. Those are my favorite mornings.
Yeah, mm-hmm. You can hear the sound of a couple birds chirping as you wake up.
Ah!
beautiful.
Deadly birds.
It's a fucking vulture.
What did I try to bring in as one of the Cannon Plains residents? The Oklahoma bird, the like sage grouse or whatever.
The lesser sage grouse. Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. But I'm like, you know what? I just said that those are in the plains here of Kingmaker.
Have you seen those threads that are like, birds were named by people who clearly hate birds, and they're lesser sage grouse.
Wait, are you talking about the prairie chicken?
Yes,
prairie
chicken.
So that's what you hear some of those in the morning.
Yeah.
What does a lesser prairie chicken sound like?
I couldn't say.
Oh, is Jason looking it up?
I was going to say that there should be Pootucky-tuckies in this world.
There are, but they're probably not in this landmass.
Yeah.
You're up at the northern edge of Avistan.
I can't tell you how much I want to hear Trent's attempt at doing a prairie chicken.
The low booming of displaying males, sometimes called yodeling.
Do it!
I don't know what it sounds like. Let's see.
Yodel, 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 hee-hoo.
Yodel, lady, doodle, doo. Is that how you? That sounds like when Mario shoots the bubbles out in the new Mario Wonder game.
I kind of love this, though.
It's very crazy. Adorable.
So you hear some of that, plus the chirping. It's just early enough for those of you who are early risers, where you can hear the occasional of an owl like swooping over.
And we're
hunting.
Like, ah! Because we think it's the beaky.
I always like to ask this. Who do you think on this particular morning wakes first?
I always do the last watch, so I'm usually awake.
Okay, Nikolai's already up. Who's the next one up?
Arthur probably wakes up just like, all right. It is morning now, and I'm ready to go.
Ari probably actually uncharacteristically wakes up pretty early and is like, let's get out of here.
All right.
Sure, I'll be last.
You get up. There were still quite a number of food stores there in pretty good condition, including plenty of like smoked and dried meats. Mm. Plenty where, like, if you want to make a good breakfast, there's some supplies for sure.
Salted pork. The kitty's sleeping over there.
Sleep in cat form?
Yeah, of course.
Just curl up and like.
Curl
up into a cinnamon roll and like just lay there?
Sure.
Yes.
God, if I could become a cat, sounds so comfortable. You could sleep anywhere so well.
Yep.
Yeah. Do you sleep more than the rest of us because you're part cat?
Yeah, maybe. At least lounging.
12 hours of sleep.
We look over and like, lucky the man is just laying in a patch of sun. Like,
His belly up.
Yeah.
Somebody rub it.
Do you get up in the morning? I think it'd be really funny if one of the recipes your character learned was biscuits. Be like, oh, Lucky's making biscuits.
Yes.
All right. You get up. You pack up. You kind of loot the place out, or do you leave a lot of the supplies? Like, remember I talked about, there's a lot of like, just like generic short bows, short swords.
We brought
arrows.
A wagon.
I want you to fit as much as we can so that we can have Oleg sell it.
I would agree.
Mm-hmm. We could also use it for a future army.
Yeah, because
it's Pathfinder
agree.
And.
Like, yeah, we should probably keep a lot of stuff.
But we got an official full night's rest, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Woo.
Yes, you got a full
because I had no heal spells to cast on that cluster of zombies, and I was sad about it.
Yeah, well, they were coming out one at a time with four of you just being like, "All right, we got this."
We were just whack-a-moling them.
My initial three of them, I was going to be like, "I want to cast heal on all those guys and just murder them."
My reaction is also like doubled against undead, so I don't think we would have ever taken damage.
Oh,
really.
Yeah. 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 I wanted to play it out so we got the scene because I loved the visual of like moonlit on the path leading up to this fortress, zombies coming out as you defended it.
Yeah.
And we take down three in two rounds.
I'm also just a sucker for the cinematics of a fight of like a force working its way up towards like a castle or something, like up a hill or upstairs.
Mm-hmm.
Super cool visuals.
Mm-hmm. In that dinner at Lion Lodge, there's a portion of it where if you guys leave the lodge, you would have been fighting the cultists as they came up the hill outside the thing.
Ooh.
And it would have been so awesome.
That would have been super cool. So where to, you load the wagon up. I think it takes probably the better part of the morning to really load this place up, take inventory of the stuff there. And then what's next?
I do have a mechanics question.
Oh, I love a mechanics question.
How long does it take to repair a shield?
Oh, I wanted to do that too.
It's like an hour, I think. It's a downtime activity. Repair is a general act. Fuck.
I meant to cast mending on your shield before I went to sleep because I had it prepared to fix your shield.
Oh, so yeah, you could have done that magically, which would have been faster. And then, oh God, I hate archives. Why do you do this to me?
It was the only spell I had left that was prepped.
Stop using modern menu, Archives of Nethys. All right. I'll get back to you on that, Trent. I don't want to go through that, but I think I want to say it's like 10 minutes or an hour, sort of standard thing like that.
I think it's 10. I think it is an hour.
No, crafting. 10 minutes attempting to fix a damage item. So it's a lot like
the shield's
wounds.
Not different.
No, it is trying to repair. 10 minutes to fix a damage item. Place an item on a stable surface. We're using the repair kit with both hands. Usually about the same DC to repair an item of the craft in the first place.
Yeah, I think we did when we, because I was gonna fix your shield at some point, and I didn't have a repair kit.
And I think Jared put it on the list of shopping pre-Staglord.
Yeah, I think we might have got one
and fix it for you.
Well, it's mended right now, but you'll definitely. You know what? I bet there's a repair kit here to fix armor and weapons. I'm just gonna say that they because like they have
it's not broken right now. It's just that like it's down.
Damaged.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so I'm gonna say that there is room in their quartermaster's room to like a workbench essentially.
Cool. So I can get it up to
full.
Okay. Yep.
So you spend the time. You load up your wagon. There were also two horses here already, or maybe there are mules if you want to take them with you as well.
May as well.
Yes.
I'm going to double check that count. And I can actually find the canon name for that area. I keep calling it like wanting to. Oh, it's called the yard, period. There were two riding horses there as well.
Cool.
So you can now have
what
a team of four that you don't know. And the only people who would have known
them.
The names are dead.
Okay, well,
I'm going to call you horse.
And I'll call you. Fuck, I don't know. What's Russian
fuck,
for
I don't know.
Fuck, I don't know. What's Russian?
Let me find out what is Russian for horse.
So they're both named horse, just in different languages.
Or wait, what does Geralt always call his horse?
Roach.
Roach. Just every horse is called Roach.
Roach.
Loshed.
This
is my horse, Loshed.
Horse and horse. And, what's next? It's about midday now. Sun's high.
I say we throw this... the Staglord into the river.
Yes,
you also
we
will
go
want
to the water.
Yes.
We want to keep something from him.
You also want some proof of Sneeg.
Oh, yeah.
We wouldn't have burned him either.
His head will do.
Sure, it's a little grim, but totally.
Arthur will go over and cut his head off.
Do you bury the rest of the bandits, or what do you do with them?
Thought we burned them.
Did you burn the bandits
with
the
zombies?
But we would have taken the head of...
And all their, like, medallions and stuff like that to prove that we got them.
And any art that was in there that's worth any money, too. Like, we would have taken everything worthwhile in this place.
There's not a lot of... You've got all the supplies. Cool. They were not...
They didn't seem like
fine art.
Artsy people, but...
Was there anything that represent... Was, like, the dad in the basement having, like, a medallion, too, or...
No, he just had bloody rags and a wooden stick.
He can be burned, too.
Yeah, for sure.
He also has a random lock of hair that was on the Staglord's body.
Yeah, green hair.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
May as well just keep
that. Don't know what that is, but...
We should keep it.
We don't know why.
Sure. So you load up...
Did the zombies have green hair?
Nope. He fell in love with a zombie.
He's like, you're my favorite zombie.
Star-crossed lovers. The zombie's like, I can't. I'm dangerous.
I can't. It fell off.
And the stag lord's like, you're not too dangerous for me.
All right. Anyway.
Patreon exclusive.
the romance between the zombie and the stag lord.
Yep.
So where do you go? You are at the north edge of the Tuskwater. You are 60 miles south of Oleg's trading post, but
And you can almost take a direct route by just using that like shallow crossing, if you remember right.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Trying to get to the...
We got to get to the shallow crossing because we got to baptize this body.
Yeah. Well, now that being said, the same river that is connected to... You, if you want to go upstream to his crossing, that's out of the way. That'll add an extra day or so of travel.
I think we should just do that though, right? Like just go back to the place where we saw this guy just to be safe.
We're not rushed.
Yeah.
In this game.
You'd come down on the north side of that river, crossed, and come here to the Tuskwater. On the south side of the river is where you'd seen that kind of like odd rise or hill that you'd noted from the north side. You're gonna go on the north, but you know that if you don't cross at the shallow area before you get to his old ferry, that there really isn't any other way to cross. So are you gonna cross back to the north side before heading to Davik's old ferry? Yeah. Or are you gonna stay in the south side? What's the thoughts?
I think we gotta go north side.
Sure.
Works for me.
All right. So you head your way back up. And I think on your way to the crossing, on your way to the shallows, you know what? Everyone go ahead and just roll a perception check for me.
Oh, dear.
Just go ahead and roll it. Remember the number.
Well, perception.
For no reason at all, I just need you to remember the number.
25 for Ari.
Okay. Cool. Nice, simple, love it. What about the rest of you?
13.
Okay.
16.
So Ari, it's you then who kind of as you're going along, you're on the west side of this river before you get to where it joins and you have to cross. You see a dog, not a wolf, but like a dog come out of some undergrowth. Now, like, keep in mind, there's no road or trail here, so you're kind of just like making your best way across. It's plains, which means it's like the wagon can make it work, but it's not the quickest going. And you see this dog come out of the undergrowth and like look at you, and its ears kind of go back and its back goes up, and then it comes down, and then it just and then it sort of like moves back and forth, paw to paw, and like steps back a couple steps away from you.
Don't you dare do anything to this dog.
What is it, boy? Did Timmy fall in the well?
I'm like, look, there's a dog.
And then you see it like, it kind of run like 10 feet away from you, then like stop and look at you again.
Ari like runs towards the dog.
No, you're gonna, it's gonna run away from you.
Or she's like, she like, you know, she like goes over and does the dog thing. She's like, come here, come here, come here.
Give me a nature check.
Okay.
Can I aid her?
I feel like she ran off on her own.
That's what I feel like too.
16.
You're not sure why, but you really feel like this dog wants you to follow it.
Mm. I'm going to follow the dog.
Mm. Well, tune in next week to see where it takes you.
Obviously, I'm following the dog.
The Live to Die podcast is a production of Live to Die Gaming. Follow us on social media at Live to Die Pod. Leave a review and tune in next week for more. If you like the amazing background audio and music, all that credit goes to Sirenscape. Make sure you check them out at Sirenscape.com.